Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Better late than never, I guess. Sorry about that, boys and girls. Had a bit of a connection issue, but we are here in time. Did you know that this is the last full week without a football game on television until next February? It's true, no football this week, but the first NFL preseason game is 9 nights away. Thursday night, July 31st. The Hall of Fame game from Canton, Ohio. Lions and Chargers. Detroit, a 1-point favorite. The total, if you're interested, is 32.5. I have many a degenerate friend that bets preseason NFL football. Considers, many a friend consider it to be the opportunity in football betting. I do not. Good morning, everybody. Again, sorry for getting starting late this morning. We are going to carry in about 15 minutes the introductory pressers for Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. I think they will speak together. This is the introductory training camp press conference. The general manager, the head coach, will carry it live and then react to it after it is over. Today is the day in which we will have 30 teams by the end of today in the NFL having reported to training camp. Two more to go tomorrow. I think it's Pittsburgh and Atlanta are the final two teams to report to camp. But we are, you know, at that point on the sports calendar where we're beginning that process of, you know, long, hot, and humid days of team practices and joint practices, you know, all of the position and roster spot battles, three preseason games, thankfully not four, NFL fans dealing with reports and even videos of deep on the depth chart wide receivers making spectacular one-handed grabs, which of course will, you know, eventually lead to conversation about, you know, that player making the team and becoming a future star. You know, think of Marco Mitchell, Antonio Golden Gandy, or Gandy Golden. I forget where the name was before the hyphen. There will be some running back deep down the depth chart that will rush for like 80 yards on 8 carries in a preseason game and will be convinced that the coaching staff can't keep that player off the field when real games begin. Think about Marcus Mason, Mack Brown. There will be a day or two somewhere around the NFL where a second or third string quarterback goes 8 for 8 against air. And, you know, all of a sudden there's a quarterback controversy. Even though, by the way, all 8 attempts against air did not actually include facing a pass rush. I love this time of year. Not really. But there are things that are important. And I think often telling, you know, important would be things like, of course, injuries. You know, those are the big news items typically that come out of training camp and preseason games this time of year. But other important things are things like the contract situation that we're dealing with here, you know, where Cincinnati is dealing with, you know, Trey Hendrickson, Terry McLaurin, the two big name contract situations. Will they hold in? Will they hold out? Will a deal get done? We'll keep you posted on that. The things that end up being telling typically are not things that come from, you know, practices or preseason games, things that we see, but more so from something a coach says or a coordinator says about a player or a situation. But most of the next 6 weeks or so tends to be almost impossible to decipher from our seats. This is the time of year that is not very revealing for us, unless, of course, it's an injury or, you know, a contract situation getting resolved. We have to wait for the actual games to begin. You know, they don't begin until early September. It'll be here before we know it. But between now and then, just remember some of the, you know, preseason proclamations from the past and how premature and foolish they kind of looked like in the rear view when we got to the regular season. Hell, the regular season fools us in the first 4, 5, even 6 weeks of the season. So July and August, tough to tell. But at least we have finally arrived at the point on the sports calendar where it really feels like we're in countdown mode. You know, countdown mode to the best sport, football, the most rhythmic of sports seasons, football season. It's the best. And the process of kind of gearing up for that begins, you know, today in 26 NFL cities, tomorrow in two more, all 32 will be in by the end of the day tomorrow. Now, when Peters and Dan Quinn begin their press conference, unless there is some sort of big news coming in the next 15 minutes, like Terry McLaurin and the team agree to a contract extension, that's going to be the big topic. I don't know if they'll answer anything related to it, other than to say Terry's very important. Terry was a big part of what we built last year, not only on the field but off of it, and he's going to be a big part of our future as well. I doubt you're going to get a lot of detail. You know, one of the things that I've actually appreciated about the situation as it has developed over the last, you know, few weeks in particular, intensified over the last few weeks, you know, especially with Terry speaking last week, is that the team has been very mum on everything. There have been, I think I can say this fairly accurately, there have been no leaks from the team on this. All of the information we have, it's come from either Terry directly or from people around Terry, agent and others. There's been some reporting, and there was some reporting over the weekend, and there was a report yesterday, but I have been impressed. Look, some of this is just because of the comparison to what this organization used to be. This organization used to leak like a sieve. It was embarrassing how many people talked. They couldn't keep a lid on anything important. This is important. And we're not hearing anything, you know, no accusatory, no setting the record straight, no, you know, bashing or anything negative of Terry or his camp from the team. You know, we've gotten stuff publicly that was months ago. You know, Terry's a commander. Terry's is a big part of what we just did and what we're going to do. But for the most part, anything that's happened reporting-wise has either come directly from the horse's mouth, as it did last week, or from somebody in his camp. I think that is, again, maybe I'm just getting a little bit overjoyed by it not being what it used to be, but I'm impressed. They are able to keep a lid on these things. It doesn't happen in most places. You know, usually there would be something out there from the team, leaked to a Schefter or a Rappaport or a Fowler. So there was some news. You know, Jeremy Fowler over the weekend said, quote, if $30 million is what Terry is asking for, McLaurin is asking for, which is very reasonable from his perspective, the two sides do not appear close. The question is, are they, meaning Washington, willing to meet this market that's gotten crazy where players are making $30 to $35 million per year at the receiver position? My sense is they're not even close to that. And McLaurin senses that, which is why he's spoken out publicly. So they have a big gap that they're trying to fill here. And then he goes on, Fowler, Jeremy Fowler from ESPN, to say, but it looks like he's going to be a commander regardless. Now, that last part is, well, yeah, it's not much, you know, of a choice at this point for either side. Terry's under contract. He's not going to hold out, which means he'll play for the team even without an extension. And Washington's not going to trade him at this point because, A, you know, he needs to get paid by the acquiring team. That always lowers the compensation price when, you know, they've got to also pay the guy. And there's not, you know, an obvious team with a wide receiver that's disgruntled that could come back for Terry. And in free agency, there's really not a wide receiver out there worth getting. Amari Cooper's out there. Gabe Davis is out there. But there's nobody that's going to replace Terry. He's not getting traded. He's not going to hold out. He's going to play. Would it be preferable for him to play under a happy, happy, both sides feel good about contract extension? Of course. But if it doesn't happen, and I think it will, I'm still a believer that it will happen, he's still going to play for this team in 2025. You know, entering his age 30 season, he can't hold out. That's not going to happen. So I think that's where the Fowler line comes from at the very end, where he says it looks like he's going to be a commander regardless of whether or not they get a deal worked out or not. Now, if Fowler is right and Washington's not even close to $30 million, which is what Terry, he says, if $30 million is what McLaurin is asking for, the two sides do not appear close. Well, if Washington's under that $30 million per year average, it's not as important as what the guaranteed dollar amount is, and that was not revealed here in this story. But, you know, that would be interesting, right? If they are offering under $30 million a year and they're offering more of a contract close to, say, what T. Higgins signed for, he's a number two in Cincinnati. T. Higgins would be a number one in a lot of places. If you've watched him play, you know that. I mentioned last week, I think part of what is going on, this is total just connecting of the dots, not something necessarily that I have heard, but Lance Newmark, Brandon Sosna, both came from Detroit. They're intimately involved, you know, Sosna in particular as a salary cap guy for this organization. I'm sure they are intimately involved in the conversations and in the decision-making for a Terry McLaurin contract. And just over a year ago, April of 2024, they signed Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit to a contract extension that was worth just barely over $30 million a year and $77 million guaranteed. However, Amon-Ra St. Brown, when he signed that deal, was 24 years old, not 29 years old. He was entering his age 25 season, Terry entering his age 30 season. Early in the season, he turns 30, very early, as in September. And, you know, this seemed to upset many of you, but I don't think there's any doubt that you could easily make the argument that Amon-Ra St. Brown is, at the very least, as good as Terry McLaurin, if not better. I mean, he was ranked sixth in that ESPN, you know, countdown of the top 10 receivers. Terry was not in the top 10. He was listed as the first honorable mention, which would put him at 11th. There's a lot of subjectivity in that, of course. I think that is in play. Henry McKenna from Fox Sports yesterday reported, McLaurin, an all-pro receiver and team captain, is most interested in trying to bring a deal together, not breaking the team apart. If necessary, McLaurin will explore every option, including a holdout, a hold-in, and a trade request, per the source. This is Henry McKenna, Fox Sports' source. Everything will be on the table, the source told me, but McLaurin is taking things day by day in hopes of hearing more from the Commanders, who have not talked to him about his contract in weeks, even after he spoke out about his dissatisfaction, closed quote. I'm not that familiar with Henry McKenna, to be honest with you, but I did see this, and it was Fox Sports. You know, it wasn't a fan site or a fan blog, and so I thought it was interesting. Look, of course, Terry's going to explore every option. What I'd love to know definitively, and I trust a Jeremy Fowler, is, are they close or are they far apart? And Fowler's perspective, at least over the weekend, is they're not close, which probably means there's going to be a bit of a holdout or hold in. You know, holding in means he doesn't get fined $50K per missed training camp day. If he holds out, he gets fined. And this isn't the old days of forgiving those fines. The CBA does not allow that. Now, is there a workaround with a contract extension that eventually addresses, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars of fines? I don't know. He's already been fined about $104,000 for missing mandatory minicamp. So that is the big story for sure. When Dan Quinn and Adam Peters begin their press conference in a few minutes. And I'm looking at the clock, and it is a few minutes away from the beginning of that. So we'll take a break. When we come back, Dan Quinn, Adam Peters, training camp day number one, addressing the media. I'm sorry, Chris. What did you say?
They've pushed it back a few minutes, but we still need to go to break. So
okay, so let's break, and then we will carry that presser live.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
All right, we are going to carry the Adam Peters, Dan Quinn press conference from Ashburn. They're a little bit late getting started, but when they start, we'll take you out live to listen to it. No news as of this morning, at least based on Chris, who's in for Max this week, and yours truly checking social media and checking the reports. But, we'll see what they say. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle that conversation. You know, this is going to be a season, by the way, for Washington that is the most anticipated in a long, long time, obviously. You know, 12 wins, first time 11 or more in 33 years, first time in an NFC title game last year since 1991. And Washington right now is, you know, in terms of Super Bowl odds, are like the eighth pick to win the Super Bowl. In the NFC, they're the, you know, fourth selection to win the NFC championship. You've got to go back to 2000 to find a season in which the expectations were this high for this football team. In 2000, following the 99 playoff season, they won the division with Brad Johnson at quarterback. Norv Turner was the coach. And then you had the first full offseason of Dan Snyder, Bruce Smith, Mark Carrier, Dion, Jeff George, etc. And Washington was the second pick in the league to win the Super Bowl. They were plus 350 before the season began to win the Super Bowl. The Rams were plus 300. Washington's over-under heading into the 2000 season per Pro Football Reference on wins was 11.5. 9.5 is the number heading into this season. They haven't been at 9.5 for any season since 2000 when they were 11.5. This is by far and away the most you know, anticipated with the highest expectations season Washington has entered into in 25 years. It's, you know, I was thinking about this too. It is a loaded NFC. You know, there's no doubt that the NFC right now is loaded with the defending Super Bowl champions, a team that won 15 games last year in Detroit. And not only did they win 15 games, you know, they got injured on defense, and Washington took advantage of that and outplayed them for sure in the divisional round. But they come back with everybody other than their coordinators. The 49ers were injured last year, but they are thought to be loaded once again if they're healthy. You've got the Packers and the Rams, lots expected from them. In the NFC North, you also have to throw in the fact that in addition to Detroit and Green Bay, Minnesota won 14 games last year. Sam Darnold was the quarterback. We'll see what J.J. McCarthy can do. And you get the Ben Johnson debut in Chicago. The 49ers and Rams out west. The South, again, looks like the weakling of the divisions in the NFC, but Tampa is certainly a possibility to be a threat. Baker Mayfield has really emerged here in the last year and a half as a legit top 10-ish kind of a quarterback. Good for him, by the way. And then you've got the East with Philly and Washington. And a lot of people like Dallas's roster and still think Dallas can compete. New head coach, obviously, and we know what they are when they're not healthy and what their depth situation is. That's another thing, by the way, to keep an eye on during training camps is the Micah Parsons contract situation. According to reports, he is going to report to training camp, or has reported to training camp, but he doesn't have a deal yet. He's got to get signed to a long-term deal. It seems to be Jerry's MO to wait, you know, and they've already waited through a Myles Garrett deal, through a TJ Watt deal. Micah's younger than both of those players, so he is, I'm sure, gunning for the Watt deal, which eclipsed the Garrett deal. But the NFL season for our group is the most anticipated in years, and obviously, the number one reason for that, more than anything else, is Dan not being the owner, but really that they were able to draft a quarterback that looks like he is going to be one of the elite quarterbacks in the game. We are standing by for the Adam Peters, Dan Quinn press conference. I will, on the show today, address the Trump tweets or whatever you call them from Truth Social on Sunday and talk about that a bit. You know, one of the things that I was off of radio for was the signing of Von Miller last week. $6.1 million for a year, $4.4 million in incentives. Love that. You know, not like just a prove it deal. I mean, they're expecting something from Von Miller, and the numbers say that Von Miller can still rush the passer. And he did so last year in Buffalo. I'm fine with Von Miller. I think I would have preferred Clowney or even Za'Darius Smith, but I'm okay with Von Miller. I think it's going to be interesting to see how he's used. I mean, no doubt that he is coming in at his age, 15-year veteran, 36 years old, to be a situational pass rusher. He's going to be in the game for 30 to 35% of the snaps, and that will depend on score. Like if Washington's got a big lead and the other team's throwing a lot, it may be more, but it's going to be, you know, third and passing situations, second and long passing situations, end of half, other team has the ball trying to score, end of game, final 2 minutes, other team needs to score. That's where he's going to play. He is not going to replace Dorrance Armstrong on first down. I don't see that happening at all. I think Dorrance Armstrong actually came on last year. I'm expecting decent things from Armstrong this year with the way he ended the season. But we're going to get him as a specialized pass rusher. And I was thinking about this. You know, he's played primarily on 3-4 teams in Denver and in L.A., when they won the Super Bowl as an outside linebacker. And when they announced his signing, they announced him as an outside linebacker. You know, not as a 4-3 defensive end pass rusher. Could Washington potentially play some more 3-4 this year as a base defense? Or more five-man fronts, right? Because the 3-4 is often a five-man front. Same thing. You know, the outside linebackers being on the line of scrimmage, that would be Luvu and Miller in passing situations. And then you could take your three best interior guys and put them inside in terms of pass rushers. Maybe that's Johnny Newton. Maybe that's Daron Payne. Hopefully it's Daron Payne this year. Maybe that's Kinlaw. Maybe it is, you know, a Dorrance Armstrong that ends up moving inside on passing situations. It's going to be interesting to see what they do and how they use Von Miller. I'm in favor of the signing for sure. It's still low risk, even the $6.1 million. Are we ready to go? Chris? I'm sorry?
We should probably break first and then come right back for it, bud.
All right, you want to break and then come back for it? We'll do that. So hopefully they will start the press conference when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
All right, still waiting for the Adam Peters, Dan Quinn press conference to begin. We will get to that when they start it. It was scheduled to begin, I think, at 10:30, so they're a bit behind. I wonder if they're working on something before they start it. Who knows? My last thought on the Von Miller signing and it being official is I don't know that he's going to replace the Fowler 10.5 sacks, but I do think he's going to be, you know, barring falling off a cliff, if he is at least what he is last year, he's going to be a much more effective a pass rusher, and he's going to make things easier for everybody else. There will be attention paid to him when he's in the game, regardless of his age. He was a very effective get-off pass rusher and overall pass rush win rate guy last year in the NFL, despite the snap counts in Buffalo. He's also going to wear number 24. You know, he played with Champ Bailey in Denver. We saw that picture when he announced that this is the direction he was going to be signing, Washington. And apparently he was a massive Kobe Bryant fan. And 58 and 40, the two numbers he's worn in the NFL, were not available. To be honest with you, I can't think off the top of my head who wears 58. 40 is the linebacker that or slash safety that played well in special teams, right? I forget his name. Tyler Owens. I think Owens was 40. I have no idea who number 58 is. Okay, here we go. Let's go out to Ashburn for Adam Peters and Dan Quinn.
All right. Welcome to training camp. And as you get started in a training camp, everybody looks at the schedule and who's the first opponent. And we look at that differently, as we are the first opponent. And honestly, it's a pretty tough matchup. And I know you hear a lot of coaches through the years have said iron sharpens iron, and there's a lot of truth to that. And we have a hell of a lot of iron that's going to be on this field. So thanks to Adam and his crew, like, we're ready to get this thing rocking. At the start of it, competition, that's what drives training camp. And that's over the next 5 to 6 weeks. And if you really love ball and your teammates and like a really hard-ass challenge, like training camp's kind of the coolest part to do that. You can imagine a DB trying to match wits with Jaden or being a running back in the open field against Bobby Wagner and that kind of tackle, like the guy's absolute tackling G. You know, can you beat him? Or a defensive end going against Laramie Tunsil or a guard against Payne. All these little matchups helps you bring out your best going against their best. And each summer, everybody asks me, hey, what's your favorite part of training camp? And I point to that. I say, it's always the competition and seeing these matchups and seeing what goes on. And so that's why we love it so much. It's that time, and we get to do that together. So I'm fired up to get rocking with you guys. I know AP is going to have an opener as well, and then we'll get into some questions and get the whole thing rolling. Cool?
Thank you. Your opening statements are always a lot better than mine. I just want to start and say thanks for you guys for all being here and really excited for this year. I know there's a lot of excitement last year, and this year feels even more for myself in terms of just what we've built here and what our ownership has allowed us to build. And you see, you won't be able to see everything right now, but as you guys get into it, we've done a lot of improvements to really everything here. We got a new bubble. I'm sure you guys have seen that out there. The fields look incredible. Shout out to Pete Benevento and his crew. But really, when you guys get into the building and the things that Josh has allowed us to build for the players, really proud of that and really thankful for that. We have a new locker room. We have new meeting rooms. We have a new nutrition center. Like I said, new bubble. It just goes on and on in terms of the things that we've been able to do. Tons of new recovery stuff for our players. So we're really proud of all that and really thankful to Josh and Mark Klaus and his crew for making this all happen. So just touch base on the recent signing. We signed Von Miller yesterday and just really excited to add him to the fold too. Not only is he one of the best pass rushers of all time, but he's equally incredible in the locker room, and we're going to continue to bring guys like that in the locker room. So really excited about that move, and really with that, take your questions and get rolling.
All right, Adam, this one, we'll start off with the fun stuff right away for you. Okay. What has been communicated to you about Terry, whether reporting or not reporting, what's been communicated to you about him?
Yeah, we haven't spoken about that, but just like with really all of our players, we're expecting everybody to be here today.
And then for both of you, he talked a lot last week about his situation, a lot of frustration. He talked about wanting to feel valued. I'm curious what you guys thought about that, and then Adam, if you can talk about where things do stand with him as far as an extension.
First I think, without a doubt, I think everybody in this building values Terry very much. And we knew that coming in, and we knew that even more after spending a year with him. In terms of where we're at, we've had conversations recently, and we'll look to have some more conversations. And we're going to do everything we can in order to get a deal done.
Adam, with regards to Von Miller, how much was just obviously his career speaks for itself, but how much was it like watching OTAs and minicamp thinking we need a little more, or was it sort of the plan to kind of add somebody all along?
Yeah, I think just in our conversations with DQ and myself and the staff, we did see pass rusher is something we still wanted to add throughout the time. During free agency, we looked to add a few guys and didn't work out. So, but we saved some money aside really to in order to do this and find out the best guy out there. And I've had a lot of history with Vaughn and know the type of person he is. Obviously his play speaks for himself, and when you turn on the tape from last year, I was shocked to see how good he still was and how well he got off the ball and just what type of impact he had on the field. And knowing the type of impact he had in the locker room in Denver, and then getting unsolicited calls from the teams that he's been on since then, talking about what a great guy he is, that really made it, a really easy decision for us to bring him in. We brought him in a couple weeks ago, been a few weeks now, but had a great meeting with him and just knew he was the right guy to bring in. So we're thrilled to have him.
And for both of you, apologies in advance. You guys had a pretty distraction-free season last year for the most part. There's been some news lately involving the stadium, the president weighing in on that. Does that get to any part of the building? Do you guys, is it something that you guys even think about, discuss, or what do you kind of react to that?
Yeah, let me take that.
Sure.
We're really focused on everything in the building and getting ready for this season and getting our guys in here and getting the building ready, as I talked about, with everything. And in terms of anything, whether it's the stadium or anything else, those things aren't really, they don't come to our, they don't really make it to us. So we really just try to focus on what's going on in here and getting ready for the season.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Coach, this question's for you.
Okay.
I go back to last year, Sam Cosmi's comments on Frankie Louvu, kind of getting to know him, and then kind of, I don't know, being surprised, but maybe being kind of just impressed by he's not just a linebacker, but he can rush. Like, that was kind of Sam's words. When you see that type of, like, maybe an unexpected characteristic about a player you brought in, what, as a coach, like, kind of how does that strike you?
You know what's cool, David, about when you go from, like, year one to year two, they've now realize what other things can a person do, and highlighting how we feature players into different spots. And so I think that's a good example of that, where he doesn't always have to be exactly the position that he had. What we found is this collaboration, you know, amongst teammates, offense, defense, on teams, the way they help each other, support each other. That's what we'd hope to build. That's the standard of a commander, of somebody that's like digging in hard to try to get one another better. And that's kind of what the cool part of being a part of this team, the environment they created together to recognize these special traits in one another, and then saying, hey man, that's hard when you line up there or do this move, or I can see how you tipped it away, so be careful of that. So the feedback across the ball, in the locker room, outside the locker room, is what we'd hope to create an environment. It doesn't happen like right overnight, but it does take place once you get to know each other better and find their strengths. So that's what's going to be fun to me about going into this camp for 5 to 6 weeks, because we've also added some new players into that mix. And to see them into that spot, like, I'm really excited. This is a number of players' first training camp here with us.
And then you talked before about second-year players in the NFL, just general second-year players taking that biggest leap this season. How early can you kind of hope to really see signs of that expansion of their talents?
Yeah, we had about, I guess, 10 rookies or so that were on the roster, maybe the 53, either at some point or most of the time last season. And that's pretty traditional that you see this jump happen from, like, year one to year two. So this spring, man, did we see it in Sinnott, and we saw it in Newton and Jordan McGee and others. One I think that's unusual, and they'll get better, but Jaden and Mikey, they kind of corrected it in season. They didn't have to wait till the off season. I think that speaks a little bit to their rarity. Like, it's normal to fight your ass off in the season and take your lumps, and then in the off season, I got to get better at this, I got to work on this. Those two, with the experience they had, they kind of self-corrected faster. That didn't mean they didn't get better this spring, but we are really excited to see Javonte and Brandon and some of the others in this role that they're going into their second year. It's a big deal. And most of it, David, is confidence. You know, I've done this. I know what to do. I worked on this skill. And once you get to that space where you're not relying on just your talent anymore, but the skill that you've developed at the position, that's the secret sauce, man. If you can get those skills right, and it takes oftentimes into that second or third year to do that. So we're excited to see the work they put in take place out here on the field.
Hey there. Is it good morning or afternoon? Adam, I think you're off the hook with me. Both of my questions are for you, Coach.
Okay.
So what's the focus for this week or the next couple of days here with camp?
Yep. So we start off, we're going to emphasize from a team standpoint, we're on the practice field, and it's a ramp up. So you don't want to go 0 to 100 miles an hour that fast. So the practices will go in length. We'll even start on more of a condensed field. So the ramp up is designed to maximize, you know, the player for their safety to where they're going, and then we'll build up into it. So the first 3 days, first one is just helmets, and then we call it shells, where it's just lighter pads. And so we'll work our way into pads. So we're not going to miss one step along the way of their development, and that'll really go all the way through the next week, and then the following week we'll go up to New England. We'll have a practice there before the preseason game. So we're just not going to miss the steps. The installing of the system, that's what it's all about, Kenny. If we can get that part right and find the right drills and put the people in the right spots, everybody has a lot of the same plays. It's not what's called, it's how you do it, how you can execute it. And so that's what the real teaching goes on here over the next few weeks. How sharp can you get at your skills?
And just reflecting back on OTAs and minicamp, can you share any examples of how you've seen some of the returning players and the new players, right, how they've been able to build camaraderie and just getting used to this system?
Yeah, I think when you ask the question of, like, what did I see on the field, like, on the offensive side, like Sinnott and Coleman, they jumped out to me in some different ways. Brandon moving inside the guard and like putting in the work to do that. Sinnott all coming off of shoulder surgery. He rehabbed so hard where during that offseason part, he and Sam were two of the ones we saw every day still while they were getting themselves ready. And I saw that confidence come out onto the field. As far as onboarding new players, it was the rookies who arrived a few days early here. But in the off season, the veterans who were new, the rookies who were new, knowing this is our standards, this is our expectations of how we do things here, to see that take place, that was a big deal. Because you do have to fast track those relationships, Candy, to be as strong and committed as we can.
Hi.
Hey, Dave. Welcome.
Wow. Such an easy commute today. It's amazing.
We're glad you're here.
Yeah. One for each of you. You just mentioned Brandon. Obviously, Sam and Biadasz had a great chemistry last year with the line calls and the checks and everything.
Right.
I just wonder how up to speed is Brandon with that already? What has to happen for that to start being seamless as you go getting ready for the season?
Well, the first thing is the communication, you know, playing next to somebody. And so with Laramie and Biadasz and the voices and the calls, making sure those happen. The good news at that position, it's in the meeting rooms, it's in walkthroughs, it's on the field. And so I was pleased to see all that development take place for him. And he's had experience at it in college, so it wasn't so far off to change that. But we didn't move him around in the spring. We really said, hey, this is where we want you to lock in and go focus on.
For Adam, you have a lot of moving parts with Terry. You have history, you have future, you have philosophy. I wonder where all of those points meet for you and the organization in terms of trying to find a deal that's fair for the organization but also fair to Terry and what he means to the team.
Yeah, that's always probably the tricky part of any negotiation is figuring all that out. And you know, in terms of understanding the market, understanding our team, understanding, you know, our financial situation and all that. But, you know, I don't think I've been a part of a negotiation where it's been really linear and smooth and everything like that. But I think, you know, understanding where they're at and understanding where we're at and trying to close that gap and come into something is really the kind of all the nuance of it and staying really above board and you know, negotiating in good faith. All those things come together and that's how you come to a deal. So as long as it fits in the construct of what you want to do and how you want to build it and what the player would, Terry in this instance, is, you know, comfortable with. So that's what we're working towards and we're having some good conversations and we'll continue to.
For Adam, you had mentioned your past relationship with Von Miller and his kind of value in the locker room. But from the outside looking in, he's also someone who's had a couple of off-field suspensions in the past. So when you're maybe talking to fans, how heavily do you weigh those kind of off-field concerns and try to, like, relay that to fans when you're making those kinds of decisions?
Yeah, that's a great question. And certainly, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of players, you know, you look into their – we always look into everybody's background, right? And some are more public than others, but you know, there's always things where people make mistakes. We're all human beings, and you look at those each kind of individually, you know, each situation individually, try to get the most information you can and make the decision based off that. It's not always, you know, what you read. It's not always, you know, what you hear first off. We all know that in the news. You really got to do your own work, and we have a lot of people that do that for us. And then you either are comfortable with it or you're not. And with Vaughn, knowing the type of person he is, knowing, you know, the nature of situations, we felt really comfortable with that. And we did a lot of research to back that.
Yeah, and also for you, I'm sure Coach would hate saying win now because every season's a win now season. But the moves that you guys made this offseason, trading for Debo, trading for Laramie, signing Vaughn, those are all very – you know, trying to capitalize off of last season. When you're looking at building this roster to contend, how much do you weigh Jaden's contract, whereas how valuable it is now and how much he's probably going to be making in a few years?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. I think, you know, you always want to build your roster to win now and then win in the future. And I think the moves that we made, those those allow us to do both, really, you know, with the nature of those, whether the deals or the contracts or however you say it. But, you know, we're always looking to field as good of a team as we can every year. And however we can do that, we'll do that. And without mortgaging the future, in terms of Jaden's, he's on his rookie deal. So that does give us more financial flexibility. But we were just talking about this the other day. I mean, out of the four teams that were in the championship game, we were the only one that had a quarterback on his rookie contract still. So it's still possible to win after you pay a quarterback. And so, you know, whether you talk about a window, I don't know what a window is in terms of that. Hopefully our window is as long as we're here. And that's what we're building for. Yeah.
Adam, if I'm not mistaken, I think you were involved with a couple of kind of longer holdouts in San Francisco, Bosa and Trent Williams, that didn't end until like early September. Like, is this just part of the process for you? Are you calm about it? Or what's the sense of urgency when a deal hasn't gotten done and Trent camp is starting?
Yeah, I think, you know, those were, you know, I wasn't so much directly involved, but I was a part of it, so I understood how it went. And you know, a lot of contract, that I think that's just kind of the nature of our business. You know, you obviously you would like to get these things done quicker than longer, but it's not always going to happen that way. So I think the, you know, for me, just seeing those things secondhand, really not firsthand, but understanding how that went, just understanding that you know, first of all, we're dealing with a really, in the case of Terry, a really good player and a really good person. So really understanding that and never losing sight of that and making sure that, you know, every conversation we have is very, you know, straightforward, honest, and in good faith, and just keeping that mindset throughout, because there's going to be twists and turns. But just having, you know, that confidence and just understanding that our goal is to get a long-term deal done. And so just keeping focused on that, and you know, whatever happens, you know, along the way, just understand that he's a great player and we want to keep him here.
And Dan, what's lost if he's not here, just in terms of working with Jaden, working with the offense? He's such a big part of what you guys do.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the hypotheticals of what if or what not. So let's, better question for now it's a part. So we're planning, like Adam said, for everybody to get here and get rocking. Okay. Sam, yeah, he's doing great. He's had a really strong off season, and we're not going to miss one step of him along the way. So the guys are doing their physicals today, and so I can give you a follow-up of where he's at tomorrow. But he's really hitting all the markers, Nikki, that we had set, you know, that we'd hope to see. And so that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, I think with Debo, what I've seen is, and I didn't see him as last year in San Francisco, but just he's always had a great joy about him, and it seems as good as it's ever been in terms of his love for being around football, playing football, being around his teammates, and being on the football field. And it was almost enhanced this spring, just the way maybe he's, and I don't want to speak for him, but maybe being in a new offense and having new challenges, he seems like he's really revitalized, and he's been an awesome teammate. And he's really, and you guys will see him, he's working his tail off to be in excellent shape. But the one thing that probably every player that comes here, and when we play in our offense, it's fast. So understanding that it's a little different than a huddle-up offense where you have to – so he's taken that challenge on and really worked on, you know, having great wind and being able to play over and over and over again. And he's really worked his tail off this whole offseason. So really excited to see where he's going to go. But in terms of how he's been so far, I couldn't be more pleased.
The word I think of for him is for Debo, I think of joy. Like, he has it. Like, you see it on the practice field, you see it in the meeting rooms. There's an energy that he brings to our team that is, you feel it. And I certainly did right from the beginning.
This question's for Dan. Obviously, your rookie quarterback, not a rookie anymore, Jaden Daniels, had a pretty good year last year. So what's the next step, the evolution of Jaden Daniels? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think more growth. And one thing I've learned over the year from Jaden, and there's no limits on him, you know, because this is somebody that absolutely is a savage from a work standpoint and just absolutely puts it in. So the skill work, the techniques, the knowledge of the offense, all of those things are going to be enhanced. And he's thrown himself an excellent offseason. We had a good conversation on the phone just the other night, chopping it up about the team, the summer, the offseason, and you can feel his energy. And just walking out here, you know, when you walk into our building, there's a lot of energy with our team, and he's right in the middle of all that. But I would never count him out or, you know, put him, mistake him for not doing anything other than absolutely emptying the tank to go for it.
And Adam, for you, comparing your feelings about the roster construction last year at this time versus to where you are today going into your second training camp in Washington, give me your feelings, differences about just how you feel overall about the roster construction, what this team looks like right now compared to where it was last year.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think we're better. You know, I would. But really just it was cool to see the players that we hadn't been with last year get so much better and get so much closer last year and work together, and then all the players that we drafted get so much better, and then bringing in a lot of guys from, you know, through trades or free agency this year and see how those guys mesh together too. So really, like impressed with the job that DQ's done and bringing everybody together. I think that's probably the coolest thing. And from year zero to year one, and then year one to year two, continuing that. So I think, you know, I think we have a better roster. You know, that doesn't always mean you're going to have more or less wins, but certainly really excited about the group that we have together, not just the talent, but just the people.
For Adam, the Commanders have the oldest roster in the NFL. I guess first, how does that hit you? And second, is that kind of based on the dearth of talent or playable players that were here when you came in? How does that go? How does that happen?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a ton of factors that go into that, and there are a ton of factors that go into that. But you know, I think really, you know, signing guys like you know Bobby or Zach, those guys, I think we showed last year, you know. People thought we brought them in to be like coaches on the field, but and certainly they are. They pass along a ton of knowledge, not just to the guys in their position group, but to guys across the whole defense or the offense. And Bobby and Jaden have a great relationship too, understanding and making each other better. But we saw with those guys, they're still really, really good players. And that goes the same for a guy like Vaughn. He's older, but he's still got a lot in the tank. So we're going to look for great players that fit us, and whether they're 22 or 35, if they can help us win, we're gonna bring them in.
Before you two guys arrived, this place wasn't exactly a desirable place for a lot of free agents to come. And talking with agents and talking with the players, they're like, "Yeah, we're good." What have you found in this last year talking to agents and players about coming to the Washington Commanders?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it really helped me a ton last year. And I think I've said this before, but not only players, but coaches wanted to come coach for DQ, and players wanted to come play for DQ. You know, Tyler Biadasz wanted to come play here, and he wasn't a defensive player. You know, DA, Dante Fowler, there's a lot of really good players, Bobby Wagner, that would not have come here if we didn't have DQ. You know, so I think it starts there. And then the culture that he's created, guys talk, and you know, he's, you know, guys that are going to be free agents that we see and that we play against, they like, "I want to come play for you." And so I'm very proud of the fact that to be a part of something like that, and to be a part of something that DQ and his staff have created, and that people want to come here and play. And obviously it helps when you have a quarterback like Jaden. You know, guys want to come play and catch passes from them, guys that want to come block for them, guys that want to come play on the other side and get sacks at the end of games to close out the games if we're ahead. So That makes it a lot easier, but certainly it started with Coach Quinn and the culture that he built.
Together with Adam, we're proud of the culture and the environment that's getting created here, and it's through the players and their connection to one another, how hard they're going to go for one another. And so as special as last year was, like, it's on to this and this journey with this crew, and man, like, we're so pumped to do that, and so we're not going to miss one bit of it. So it's an awesome time to be here and get rolling with everybody. But I think together, that's one thing that we're really proud of, and we work hard at that part to make sure this could be a place where you can absolutely be your best self and also as a team. And like, that's a really lofty goal, but we're going to go after it as hard as we can.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
There you go, everybody. Dan Quinn, Adam Peters, for, you know, roughly 30 minutes, somewhere around there. Several sound bites on Terry McLaurin, and I actually loved that last answer to the question about culture. We'll recap it all. If you want to jump on the phones, 301-230-0980. What did you hear in terms of how close or how far away they are with Terry McLaurin, and anything else you want to add from Peters and Quinn addressing the media on day one of veterans reporting to camp. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. You can also stream us, watch us on our Team 980 YouTube page.